The next case is 09-228, Osnaburg Township Zoning Inspector versus Eschlich Environmental, Inc. Ms. Sabino.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, counsel, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. My name is Amy Sabino. I am an assistant prosecutor with the Office of Stark County Prosecutor John Ferrero, and in this case, I represent appellants Osnaburg Township, the Osnaburg Township Zoning Inspector, and the Osnaburg Township Trustees. The appellants respectfully ask this court to reverse the decision of the Fifth District Court of Appeals and to enter judgment for appellants.
Counsel, help us. Maybe everybody else understands, but I don't, as to specifically what is in play. I read the Court of Appeals decision as affirming in part and reversing in part, and as saying that the 20 acres, I think it is, that the health department has approved, that's okay, you can go ahead, but with respect to the rest of the 175 acres, and there may be another 4 acres, straighten us out on, anyway, they gave the green light for a small portion of this property, and for the rest, they seem to be saying you still have to go back to the Township Board of Zoning Appeals if you want to make any changes. Is that the outcome of the case as we have it in front of us?
Well, let me just correct one thing that you said there. It might be helpful to think of this in terms of three different layers. You've got the 20-acre ALDA, that portion of the property which has already been licensed for active disposal. And then you've got the 8.5 acre ILDA, which has already been sanctioned by the Board of Health for in order to begin the process toward becoming C&D disposal area. But then you've got this larger area of the rest of the 175 acre parcel that has not yet met that middle ground. So what the Fifth District has done is they have said that this decision only applies to that portion of the acreage that has received its permit from the Board of Health. So we're talking about the 20-acre ALDA and that 8.5-acre ILDA, and they said that their decision does not apply. It does not. It's not yet ripe as to the rest of that property that hasn't received a permit yet.
Okay, and so what is it that you want to see happen? Is it that you want us to make it clear that with respect to the remainder of the property, if they want to change, they have to go to the Township Board of Zoning Appeals? Is that all that you want?
Well,
or do you still want to scrimmage about the 20 acres and the 8 acres?
No, I don't want to say that the acreage is incidental to the appeal, but in fact it is. What we want this court to say is that the single family residential classification still has vitality, that it's not null and void as to any portion of this property. What we're specifically asking the court to do, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, so with respect to the 28 acres, you want to say that still could be residential?
No, we want to say that the single-family residential classification is not completely void.
Okay. Is this property on the north or the south side of the road?
Your Honor, I believe that this is actually on the north side of the road because there's property on the south side. There's 17 acres on the south side, which is I-2 Industrial. I'd have to look back at the record of that, but that's my recall.
But the record says this was a strip mine. Is that correct?
At one time, it was a strip mine property, yes.
And it's been completely reclaimed?
No. When we talk about the property, it's obviously a very large area. It's 175 acres. And different portions of that property have been used historically for different things. Certain portions were used for strip mining. Certain portions historically have been used for construction,
so,
demolition, debris disposal.
How much of the 175 acres is actually buildable for residential purposes?
Your Honor, there is an issue as to that.
Well, a ballpark.
I believe that there would be...
Would the answer be none?
The appellees would argue that there's none, and we would... I mean, that's a fact issue, and that's an issue that we didn't get to in the trial court.
Okay.
Let me ask you, is your position, you want us to say that the state does not have the authority to impose on the township a disposal facility in a area that the township has classified as residential one?
Well, it's remember that the only thing that we're the way that this case began was not in terms of prohibiting a landfill. It's an issue of expansion of a landfill.
Right.
And really, the only thing that the township sought from appellee is to require them to go before the Board of Zoning Appeals to properly seek expansion of their nonconforming use.
But
the appellee says we don't have to do that because the state has the authority to, through its permit process, to authorize us to build a facility where it says we may build it. Is that right?
Well, the outcome that we seek is to say that local zoning still plays a role, that despite the fact that there's state regulation and despite the fact that they've obtained a Board of Health permit, local zoning is not completely silent. They still have to follow the procedure for expansion of their nonconforming use.
Well, but in 1989, it was purchased to be operated as a landfill. That's not in dispute.
No, that's correct.
And at that time, it was zoned single family. Am I right?
When at the time that it was zoned single family was in 1961 when zoning was adopted, and they received their nonconforming use certificate in 1990.
So that's my question. When you get to the nonconforming use, the Township Board of Zoning Appeals granted a nonconforming use for the operation of a landfill for this property. Am I right?
There's a very vital fact issue there when you say for this property.
Right.
Because the nonconforming use certificate does not define the property. It does not define. At the time that the nonconforming use certificate was issued, we were talking about a 2-acre landfill.
Well, is there any restriction in the nonconforming use granted by the township in 1990 that says 2 acres of the 176 may be operated?
There is no.
Or is there any restrictive or limiting language, or was it a nonconforming use for the parcel?
That was actually a part of the appellee's summary judgment motion, and that's a very key fact issue that the trial court did not get to and was not before the Fifth District Court of Appeals.
Affect how we determine this, whether or not the township has already granted a nonconforming use for this property?
There is an issue as to whether the nonconforming use certificate describes 2 acres. That would be Osnaburg Township's position, or whether it describes the entire 175-acre parcel. That's a question of fact that has not yet been determined.
But as your argument is that O'Donnell alludes, doesn't that underlie the whole thing? Don't you have to determine that issue before you even get to the legal issue that you're raising? Is this really ripe for a decision?
This is ripe for a decision because at this point, the lower courts have said that local zoning plays no role whatsoever, that they don't have, in other words, they don't have to go before the Board of Zoning Appeals in order to seek expansion of the nonconforming use. There is definitely a fact issue as to what that nonconforming use certificate means.
Counsel, in reading your briefs, what I was struggling with is it appears that you talked us into taking this case to highlight one sentence out of Sheffield, which is Nothing in this decision should be construed to suggest that Sheffield Township cannot restrict state-authorized facilities to certain districts with appropriate zoning. My take on this is that you're troubled that the court didn't understand, that the Court of Appeals didn't understand that particular provision in Sheffield, but it seems to me that factually this is a very muddled matter at this point.
Obviously, I can't argue that there are facts which are still in dispute, but we never got to clarify those facts at the trial level. We simply went to the matter of zoning is preempted as to this property entirely. When we talk about Sheffield, though, we're not concerned only with that dicta in Sheffield, which says essentially that local zoning plays a role. We believe that the Fifth District Court of Appeals misapplied Sheffield.
Well, but I think what Justice O'Donnell and Justice Kupp are getting at is when they first came in, they did go to the local zoning folks, right?
Yes.
And so there was an action. They said, well, you've got 175 acres. We're going to approve this a little bit because that's where you're going to operate right now. And so it seems like the legal question is something we don't even have enough information in front of us, and that is, did that decision and that process before the Township Board of Zoning Appeals, did that lock in forever the change for the whole 175 acres? Isn't that what you're all quarreling about? And it doesn't seem like we have enough information to decide that.
Well, procedurally, how the case got to this point was that they started to expand, and that was when the township sought the injunction. And then it was in light of the appellee's counterclaim and resulting motion for partial summary judgment that the trial court foreclosed the possibility of getting into those factual issues. But the reason why we're here and the reason why this is important, despite the factual squabble as you described it, is because the lower court has misapplied Sheffield. And there is the rule that comes out of Sheffield, in my reading, is that there is no conflict between local zoning and state regulation unless there is a complete prohibition. That's Sheffield's reading of the third prong of the test for preemption.
And by complete prohibition, I think you understand, if you look at all of our cases, it would mean you can't say, well, we've got a little area over here, but it's otherwise unsuitable, so we've made it available, but it really isn't economically feasible. Our general development of the law in this area is you have to provide some place where not only it says you can do it, but it would work to do it.
Don't think that there's any type of acreage requirement for that. I don't think that anyone has said to rural townships, you're required to provide a certain percentage of your area as general industrial district where they can put in a C&D landfill.
But I'm still trying to get at what you're after, and it seems that this case, first of all, it's an aberration. It's unusual for the township to file, a deck action? Was that what you filed?
It was an injunction that was initially sought.
So for this to all get as far along, and what you really want is that those holdings up to this point aren't res judicata as to the issues that you say you've been foreclosed from raising.
Yes.
So you want us to just unring the bell at this point rather than come up with some important legal holding?
Well, the reason why we're before the Supreme Court, though, is not just it's not just the procedural issues that are still out there and undecided. It's because the Fifth District has made a decision that nullifies the single-family residential classification. If they read Sheffield to say that there's only a conflict, that you can take any narrow zoning classification, that you can look within that classification and see that it doesn't allow for landfills, well, hence it's preempted, that's essentially creating a straw man conflict. What we're asking the court to say, and this is a broad rule that applies in any area where local law intersects with comprehensive state regulation, we want this court to spell out for lower courts that you have to look at the local law in peri materia, that you have to look at the local law in its entirety. In this case, that would have led the lower court to look at the entire zoning resolution to see that C&D disposals are in fact a conditionally permitted use, that a C&D disposal is in fact a non-conforming use within the single family residential district in this case, and would have found that there was no preemption.
But you have in essence a de facto zoning problem, because they claim only 1% is industrial, and the 17 acres that is possible within that they can't use. Is that factually true?
I don't want to concede that that is factually true.
What's on the 17 acres?
There's not anything in the record to establish for this court that 17 acres would not be appropriate for.
Well, let's then take a hypothetical, since yes. You don't want to give me any facts outside the record. Hypothetically, let's say the 17 acres is not usable, and so therefore there is de facto no space in the county, and yet you would want us to write a rule of law that says as long as you provide any amount of acreage that allows industrial, that then your zoning will control and you don't get preempted. That's
no,
essentially what you're asking in your proposition of law, that if you allow it anywhere in your county, you allowed industrial, then you look at it as you say in peri materia as a whole, and you can prohibit it in specific areas. And the health and the health board is saying you have to allow it where there's feasible use for it.
Well, it would be easier, it would be a more viable rule to say that you're going to read the local rule, the local resolution in its entirety, than to all of a sudden prescribe for townships you have to allow a certain percentage of your area for general industrial, or that you have to allow a certain percentage of your area for that is appropriate for C&D landfills.
But the opposite is that you will, if we write it the way you want, then what's to keep a township from de facto writing a rule that basically means you can't put a facility anywhere in the township?
That would be Sheffield. That would be a complete prohibition. If the township has actually written a rule that is exactly what happened in Sheffield. In fact, in the village of Sheffield, it was the village itself that was arguing that their zoning provisions prevented the establishment of a C&D landfill. No one's looking to allow a township to sneakily prevent a C&D landfill from being available. We simply want a court to recognize that, of course, you have to look to the zoning resolution as a whole before you determine that there is a conflict. And there may be a number of factual issues that lead the court to say, you know what, in light of the fact that this is very, very limited, there is a conflict there, but we want to at least get to that point. We want to say that local zoning still does play a role. Local zoning is still compatible with the state regulation.
You've used your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sabino. Mr. Seifert.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. This court has recognized in many different contexts, including a state licensing of construction demolition debris facilities, that a local police power ordinance may not conflict with general state law. This case is limited to the 28.7 acres that were at issue in the case below. It is the 28.7 acres that were licensed by the state of Ohio pursuant to a general law to be used for the disposal of construction and demolition debris.
Well, do you agree with me? We got all these facts, but I think those can be decided someplace else. The issue, I think, is whether we hold that the state has, it's a general law. You both agree that the state law here is a general law. Now, does the zoning ordinance of the township conflict with the state law? Their argument is that so long as that we have, the township has the right, should have the right, to have some control over where a disposal facility would be located. And so long as we have in our zoning, or all of our zoning ordinances, there are places in the township in which a disposal facility can be located, that were not in conflict with general law, because general law doesn't say you have to put the disposal site at this spot in this township. What's wrong with that as a proposition of law? It does seem to me the Court of Appeals went a little far and perhaps extended Sheffield beyond what we intended in Sheffield.
The determination of an appropriate location for a disposal facility is very site-specific. It involves very technical questions of geology and hydrogeology, whose expertise within the Ohio EPA is paramount. When the state established a general licensing program uniformly applied throughout the state, it is relying upon the Ohio EPA to investigate the site and to make a determination as to whether or not it is suitable and meets all of the site-specific criteria that the General Assembly has placed in Revised Code Chapter 3714. A local township does not have that expertise. If we were to substitute the judgment of a local township as to where a disposal facility should be located, we would be, in essence, allowing the haphazard.
I'm wondering about that. If the EPA has the technical requirements, and the township says, here are, you know, whatever, under our ordinances, here are 100 acres or 50 acres, more likely 50 acres, in which you could put that kind of facility following all the EPA requirements, how does that conflict then with the statute, so long as they comply with the technical requirements?
In issuing the license, the licensing authority, whether it be the Ohio EPA or its authorized agents within the health districts, have made a determination that that site is approvable. Therefore, under the general state law, the state has permitted the landfilling of construction and demolition debris particular area.
Council,
let me finish the question, your answer.
To the extent that the local zoning ordinance, in this case a township, that does not enjoy protection under the Constitution, Article 3, or Section 3, Article 18, but has a contrary zoning. That zoning forbids what the state license, pursuant to the uniform law, has allowed. Under the classic conflict test, that is the issue to be resolved.
But that looks at one piece of property, does it not? Rather than, isn't that their point that there may be other pieces, other parcels of other property that would be conducive to what EPA says you must require?
Well, that is the nature of the judiciable issue in this case. We are looking at a very specific piece of property that was authorized for disposal by Ohio EPA pursuant to the general law. The local zoning ordinance on this specific piece of property forbids that operation. And that's exactly what the zoning inspector tried to do in seeking injunctive relief, is to prevent what the state has allowed on this particular property.
Counsel, I think we read each other and sometimes incorrectly as to what we're trying to ask or say, but I think I'm exactly where the chief is, and it sounds like, and now I guess I understand better why the prosecutor's here trying to get us to look at this case. You want us to push the Sheffield case to the point that if the EPA says this meets all the groundwater and all of the hydrological issues, then that's it. It's over. And it doesn't matter if you're putting it right in the middle of a housing development. If the EPA said it's okay, there is no local control. That's not what Sheffield says, not at all. And I'm not sure that's even what the Court of Appeals is reading into Sheffield, but it seems to me your client in this case, it's site specific. This first of all, let me ask you, is it the north or south side of the road?
It is on the north side of the road.
North side of the road. So that's a reclaimed strip
mine? That is an old surface clay mine with huge excavation areas and ridges. Totally
and on the south side of the road is what?
Is the Crescent Brick Company facility that used the clay that was mined across the street.
Okay. And are there homes nearby?
There are no homes within the 28 acres, no homes within the 500-foot setback that is prescribed by the general law.
All right. And that's the EPA's requirement, is you have to be 500 feet from a...
That is correct.
...from a property line. And is the property, is any of the 175 acres buildable for residential?
In the undisputed affidavit that was submitted by Mr. Smerigan, that was part of the supplemental record filed with this case, he determined on the entire 175 acres, you might be able to put 20 residential homes. But those residential homes, the cost of which would greatly exceed their fair market value.
Okay. So the zoning bears no relationship to any possible use of this property.
Is a factual problem underlying
this. But you would have us hold that once you get licensed by the state EPA, that's it. Local zoning, they can't say, go look, we have plenty of open space in our township that could also potentially meet the requirements of the EPA that are better suited for this kind of activity. Go over there. You can plop down wherever you want to if the EPA says this meets our standards.
Ultimately, if the state, pursuant to the general law, finds an area and licenses it for the disposal, then there is a very real conflict between that and the local ordinance. That doesn't mean that the local community is powerless, you know, to express their concerns regarding general welfare, public health, safety, or otherwise.
Well, in Sheffield, they had essentially zoned it out of the township because of their other regulations about ditches and those kinds of things. So you couldn't cite this kind of activity anywhere. And that seems to me to be entirely different from what you're asking us to turn Sheffield into.
No, not really, Your Honor. I think there are many opportunities for the local community to zone property for particular uses, including landfills, if in fact they mean to do that. And they may do that, and Ohio EPA may take that into consideration in determining whether or not this particular site meets the standard of public health, safety, and protection of the environment. And if there's a disagreement between the local community, they have a right to appeal and participate in a hearing on that proposed license, and if they're aggrieved or adversely affected,
to
appeal.
Why shouldn't it be the other way around? They're essentially saying, you've got this property, our local township has already said it's okay for a piece of this, and why shouldn't you have to come back and say, okay, now, you know why we bought it. You knew that when we were in there the first time. Now we're ready to expand, and these are the precautions in terms of tamping down dust and truck traffic and all of those kinds of things. Here's what we're going to do, and now we want to use another 20 acres, another 30 acres, another 40 acres, and we're still going to have all this setback. And if they say no, then you have the right to appeal, and you have all that law backing you up saying it's the only economically viable use of our property, and they're depriving us of our property rights by turning us down. So you've got a lot of law on your side if you just go through the hoops they're asking you to go through.
Your Honor, certainly we could and did contest the unconstitutionality of the single-family residential zoning in this area, but the test is really a simple one. The legislature, in granting authority to townships, again, outside the constitutional provision, but specifically granting to townships the ability to zone, was very careful in limiting that ability. And in several instances where the legislature thought that it was appropriate for local townships and their zoning to have a role in a state licensing program with respect to coal mining under Chapter 1514. They specifically acknowledged that in the legislation. Here they did not. They did not acknowledge that a local township's zoning authority should have any role with respect to the state licensing.
But it seems that we did in Sheffield, and the dicta in Sheffield. What do we do with the dicta in Sheffield that essentially says the township can, you know, doesn't, the township has to exclude any facility for it to be in conflict?
Yes. I'll be the first to admit that the dicta is difficult, but there are occasions with appropriate zoning that the zoning will not create a conflict with the license issued under general law. There are occasions out there, but the rules of this court in determining a conflict is not to debate the virtue or wisdom of the competing legislative programs. It's simply to look at the local program, if it forbids, hinders, or limits that which the state license allows and permits, then there is a conflict. And this was narrowly drawn to the 28 acres that are at issue in this case. The Court of Appeals got it right. For the balance of the 175 acres for which there is no license, then the local ordinance, the local zoning, applies unless it is overturned on other grounds, such as suggested by the court that it is unconstitutional because there is no economic viable use under a single-family residential zoning. That is not before the court in this case. What is solely before the court is whether or not the state license on the 28 acres, the 20 of active and the 8.5, which has yet to receive its engineering components like a liner and leachate collection, things like that, but is fully licensed by the state of Ohio, can be limited and impaired by the local township.
I'd like to ask a question about the consideration that the EPA gives to local zoning when it considers an application for a license. Now, in this case, again, the facts are a little muddled because there's already existing operations in the area. Are any of the EPA regulations, do they look at local zoning when they decide whether or not they're going to issue a license, whether it's either for an expansion or for if you were, instead of expanding, locating a new landfill in this case?
Your Honor, there's no specific regulation that says they must, but there's no regulation that says they cannot consider the same components, such as public health, safety, which are components of the standard underlying local zoning. And that if, for example,
it's not written into their regulations. It's not something they do as a matter of their checklist. Does the local zoning allow for this? That's not in their consideration, basically?
It is not a mandatory consideration via regulation, but they do take it into account. And many times, local communities will participate at the hearing and will appeal the issuance of license on the same basis that there are, you know, too many homes in close proximity, our water supply is at issue. And if, in fact, that were correct and they were able to prove that the issuance of license was unreasonable or unlawful, then it'll be overturned. In this case,
Council, does the EPA take into consideration the water supply and the impact? Isn't that one of their considerations in licensing?
Absolutely. In fact, it's one of the highest in determining whether or not the uppermost aquifer underlying this facility can be impacted.
And do they take into consideration the proximity of other landfill sites within the township? Does that impact at all?
There aren't any in this case, but it could. It could, depending on, for example, emissions from the facility, when combined with emissions from other facilities, may present an ambient air quality issue, and therefore they may determine that a particular new facility, you know, should not be permitted because it causes or contributes to air pollution. That is a consideration. There are no other facilities in any proximity to this site. Well, Your Honor, I see that my time is running short. I would ask that this court affirm the lower court's ruling. They were correct in ruling that there was an impermissible conflict as applied to the 28 acres that have been licensed as a C&D facility for over 13 years. 13 licenses have come and gone without any complaint or dispute by the underlying community and its township officers. This is not the case in which the local prerogative in the abstract, you know, somehow has resolved the public health and safety issues.
During those 13 licenses, the operation, the actual depositing of material would all have been within the geographical area that the Township Board of Zoning Appeals approved in the first place, would they not?
When challenging the ability to continue filling in the 8.5 acres, they challenged the license that permitted disposal in that particular area.
So they were challenging what they had already approved?
Yes, they challenged our license. They challenged our ability to dispose as permitted by the state license.
And that's where this
is what the Court of Appeals found was the conflict.
Yeah, and that's
they could not prohibit.
That's what
state.
I thought at the start, is that the Court of Appeals limited this down to.
That was the limiting factor. With respect to the balance of the 175 acres, I agree the Court of Appeals correctly noted no conflict at this time. And as a result, that opinion follows the court's opinion in Sheffield, and it is eminently reasonable to follow it in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Seifert. Ms. Sabino, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. With the time that I have left, I just want to answer the fact that the court is obviously concerned about how the state regulation can exist with local zoning. And let me draw your attention to the fact that in some instances, the state legislature has considered your concerns. Look at the case of hazardous waste. In the hazardous waste chapter, chapter 3734, there is a specific section that says, in the area of hazardous waste, no political subdivision shall require any additional zoning approval for a state-approved hazardous waste facility or enforce any law that alters, impairs, or limits the authority granted in the state permit. Alters, impairs, or limits. That's the language that Mr. Seifert has just asked you to apply in the context of C&D landfills. That language is not found in Chapter 3714. I'll be the first to admit, in the area of hazardous waste, the legislature has sent us a clear message. Local hands off of hazardous waste. That's understandable. We're not the experts. But when it comes to the area of C&D landfills, there's different concerns going on. The concerns of local zoning aren't necessarily the concerns of the EPA, and there is still a role for local zoning to play,
but
and this court recognized that in Sheffield.
We still have our general law, our body of general law, that when there is a general law adopted by the General Assembly, and you both agree this is general statute, that an ordinance cannot be in conflict with it. We don't have to look to see whether the statute specifically grants or does not grant local authority, do we? We have our body of general law that's the principle that we apply.
Yes, the way that we got to this position is the fact that how does a lower court determine that there is a conflict?
Why is there not a de facto? Mr. Seifert didn't argue it this way, but why is there not a de facto prohibition in the county? Because if it's accurate, and this obviously we don't have the facts right before us, but if it's accurate that there's virtually no other property that's available for this site, why is that not a de facto prohibition, which would fall under Sheffield?
Because the township.
To argue, if you can't argue that, I understand that, but he argues that in the brief that there's only one, I think I read it right, only 1% of the property remaining in the township that could be available. Is that?
I mean, my answer to that, and I don't mean to sound flippant with this answer, is that that's still 1%. There's nothing that says that a township has to make a certain percentage of its area available for industrial districts or for C&D landfills.
And that wouldn't be a complete prohibition under Sheffield, you argue?
Exactly. That 1% is not a complete prohibition. Is there as much as they would like available in Osnaburg Township? Obviously not. But and I think that this comes back to that truism of that bad facts can create bad law. And I understand that this court has a lot of questions about the underlying facts and that there are factual disputes in this case. But what we wound up with was a rule What we wound up with is a decision that looks at that conflict test and only looks at a single zoning provision in a single zoning provision in a vacuum. And that's essentially nullified township zoning. That's the power of this decision, and that's why this is very, very much a statewide issue.
If just to clarify, so I can understand what you're arguing or asking, and that is that, and the facts are a little muddled here, but if the company goes to the EPA and gets a license for construction, demolition debris, landfill, for a specific parcel, which is what I understand that you have to do. And then once they get that, they find out, and they obviously wouldn't go in this order, but they find out that it's zoned residential. What you're saying is they can't start operation there unless they go to the township then and get that zoning changed or get a conditional use permit, which the township could say no.
That's correct. But there is a procedure in place. I mean, the Board of Zoning Appeals may say no, but we're just asking for them to go through the procedure. We're not looking to prohibit them. We're simply saying that local zoning is...
What's the value of going through the procedure if you're not going to say no?
Well,
or not to have the right to say no.
Well, the value of going through the procedure, that's where the facts come in. That's where they can argue as to the best use of the property and how much is truly available. That's where there is room for the facts in this case, but you can't eliminate local zoning altogether. And that's what the decision the Fifth District has said, is that the Board of Zoning Appeals doesn't even get a shot. The township, what zoning is concerned with, local land use control, plays no role whatsoever. And that's what we're seeking to, avoid. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Sabino. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.